Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Our scripture this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 29 to 32. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In his book, Guiding Your Family in a Misguided World, Dr. Anthony T. Evans tells this story. One day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not get across on her own. The first monk kindly offered, "We will carry you across if you would like." "Thank you," she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." The first monk just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again. "My back is hurting me so badly, and it is all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any farther because of the pain." The first monk looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground moaning. "Have you wondered why I am not complaining?" he asked. "Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago." That is what many of us are like in dealing with our families. We are that second monk who cannot let go. We hold the pain of the past over our loved one's head like a club, or we remind them every once in a while when we want to get the upper hand, or of the burden we still carry because of something they did years ago. I find it quite interesting to look at those two monks. One of them is still holding on to a woman that he willingly agreed to help. And the other one set her down and did not pick her up again. It seems so easy to just set something down and leave it there and be done with it. But how often are we that monk who cannot set it down and leave it down? We have to keep picking it up and carrying it when we don't need to anymore. Bitterness starts off as anger, whether it's anger at a person or anger at a situation. And then the longer we hold on to that anger, the more we become resentful and dissatisfied with how things turned out. And before we know it, we are bitter over what happened, and we can't let it go and leave it down. We have to keep picking it up. And then, before we know it, that bitterness that we carry for that one person or situation has moved and is in all parts of our life. Not just that one place where it started, but bitterness has grown to cover our entire life. It's like a weed It grows everywhere, and if we don't really go down and get the roots of that yanked out, it's going to keep popping up in different places in our life. And when we hold on to bitterness, it seems that everything always becomes someone else's fault. Nothing goes our way, and there's always a reason for that, and that reason is it's somebody else's fault. But we don't get to choose how others act. We choose how we react. We have no control over the behavior of anybody else. We might have an idealized version of what we want them to do, but we can in no way make them do what we want. We don't have control over what another person will say, what another person will do. All we can do is work on our own reactions. In our bitterness, we might say, well, if only so-and-so hadn't done this to me, I wouldn't have reacted like they did if they didn't do that first. Well, we have no control over what so-and-so will do. We can only control what we do in response. Our passage today says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. It's about what we have control over. Nowhere in that verse does it say, make sure everybody else does this. It says, make sure you do this. There are things that we can do that we have control over. We choose what kind of language we use. We choose if what we say will be good and helpful or not. We choose if we will encourage those around us or not. Those are our choices. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, we read, see that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When we hold on to bitterness, when we aren't controlling our own reactions, we cause trouble. Whether we mean to or not, we cause trouble and problems. In bitterness, we hold on to what we believe others have done to us and use it against them as a weapon to hurt them, just as we feel that they have hurt us. And we can start to see slights where none were intended. We have the choice of how we view the world around us. We have the choice if we will let bitterness grow its roots in our life, or if we will choose God's grace. So often, we try and let what others do influence our own actions, but we don't have control over anybody else. We can only control how we respond. If we hold on to bitterness, it goes into every part of our life, and it becomes more than just anger over this one person or situation, resentment of how this something turned out. But bitterness can spread into every relationship, every new experience. Bitterness can cause you to become so wrapped up in what's wrong that you can't enjoy the present that is good. Did you know that bitterness, holding on to bitterness, can lead to depression and anxiety? That you can start to feel as if your life lacks meaning or purpose? That when you hold on to bitterness, you can lose that feeling of connectedness to others? You can even start to feel as if you are cut off from God. Who knew I'd be up here telling you the health benefits or the unhealthy benefits of bitterness? When God tells us to watch out for bitterness and get rid of it in our life, It's not only because God knows that it's not good for us in our spiritual lives, in our relationship with Him, but there are actual physical health benefits of not holding on to bitterness. So if we want to get rid of bitterness, what do we need to do? Now, to let go of bitterness, we need to choose forgiveness. When we choose to offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us, when we make that choice that bitterness is not an option for us and that we will choose to let it go, we are choosing forgiveness. Because bitterness is when we hold on to our anger and let it fester. Forgiveness is when we make that choice to set it down and leave it there. We read, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. We are told to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Those all congress into one big pot of bitterness. And they're all so connected, and we have to get rid of all of them. Because if we are bitter, we're also angry. And we're more likely to say something we really don't mean to one another. And we have to choose forgiveness to get rid of them, to forgive as we have been forgiven by God. Forgiveness is such an important part of our spiritual life. We are told to forgive as God has forgiven us. And so when we choose to not forgive others, to hold on to bitterness, it's like us trying to put a block between ourselves and God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. When we choose to offer forgiveness, that is what we do. We are repaying evil with a blessing. But when we hold on to bitterness, we are repaying evil with evil. Forgiveness is so important. And again, who knew I would be up here getting ready to tell you all the health benefits of forgiveness? You go to Google, sermon research always ends up on Google, and you type in bitterness. The top articles that come up are not anything to do with what the Bible says about bitterness. Nothing spiritual at all in all those. The top results that come up are health articles about the dangers of bitterness to your health and the importance of forgiveness to your health. So one of the top articles was this article from Mayo Clinic that outlined all the health benefits that we receive from practicing forgiveness. And so from Mayo Clinic, they say, when we forgive, we will have healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. Let me tell you, that's not what I expected when I did a Google search on bitterness. But that just goes to show that it's not good for any part of our life to hold on to bitterness. It's good for our spiritual health and our physical health to practice forgiveness. again, in sermon research, I ran across this quote. It's from Joyce Meyer. And she says, "I know from personal experience how damaging it can be to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. I like to say it's like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die." And it really is that harmful to us to live that way. Who wants to take poison? But that's what we do when we hold on to bitterness. We're taking poison and hoping that somebody else will feel its effects, when we're just harming ourselves. We hurt ourselves physically and spiritually when we hold on to bitterness in our life. Now, I'm going to say it's not always easy letting go of bitterness, because again, remember, it's that weed that has grown roots, and you have to pull out each and every root to get rid of bitterness completely. But that is what we are to do, to work on our relationship with God, to let Him fully into our life instead of bitterness. And we experience so many other health benefits from it as well. When we practice forgiveness, we are letting go of all that holds us back from our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, and our relationship with our friends. So let go of the bitterness that you are holding on to and find healing in forgiveness. Will you pray with me? Lord, we ask for your help in letting go of bitterness, anger, rage, and all that holds us back from a full relationship with you. May we offer forgiveness, knowing that you have forgiven us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.